Kristen, can you hear me okay? Kristen. Kristen. Kristen.
Hey,
Kristen.
Yes.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. And okay. Mike's on his way in, so I'm going to give him one more minute, and then I'll introduce you.
All right, thank you.
Okay, can you hear me?
Okay, everybody's here. Yeah. We're gonna go ahead and get started. Good evening, everybody. My name is Kristen. I want to welcome you all out to week 5 of our client education series. If this is your first time joining us, don't worry. We're going to have a quick review before we cover tonight's lesson, the basics of debt elimination. As always, if you have questions about the concepts you learn here tonight, or you're just interested to learn more, we encourage you to reach out to the agent who invited you here and start a conversation about getting your finances in order. We have 2 great speakers for you tonight. Both are coming to you from the great state of California, and they each have over 30 years of experience helping families in the financial services industry. First up, from Walnut Creek, California, Mr. Ray Binkley. Go ahead and take it away, Ray.
Well, I want to welcome all of you here this evening. And tonight, again, we're going to do a real recap of Fix Your Finances. And class 4 is buying the right insurance, okay? So let's go to the first slide here, cover that, all right? Okay, 2 types of insurance. First of all, we've got your income protection, sometimes called life insurance, and then your assets protection, right? Okay,
so working.
Okay. Okay. Insurance for income protection, all right? Well, what is that? Let's go into that, all right? Life insurance provides a lump sum that can be converted into an income stream to replace the income your family would have received from your work efforts. Now, employers generally provide 1 year of income as a benefit, so you can purchase your own individual policy. Disability insurance provides a monthly income along with Social Security disability to replace income due to a particular disability or an accident. Most disability insurance is purchased through an individual policy, right? Asset or liability protection insurance. Health insurance provides a reimbursement for medical expenses that you as an individual will incur from any type of illness or accident. You as an individual are responsible for these costs. You trade a premium, which is a dollar, in return for the insurance company to take a portion on for that liability. Long-term care insurance provides reimbursements to you directly should you be confined in a nursing home or certain other facilities. You, as an individual, are responsible for these costs. You trade a premium, your money, in return for the insurance company to take on a portion of that reimbursement. All right? Next slide. Asset or liability protection insurance. Auto insurance provides reimbursements for damage to your car or a claim against you should someone be hurt by your car. You as an individual are responsible for these costs. You trade a premium in return for the insurance company to take on a portion of that reimbursement or that liability, all right? Now, homeowners or renters insurance provides reimbursements for damages to your residence or a claim against you should someone be hurt you at your residence. You as an individual are responsible for these costs. You trade again a premium, your payment, in return for the insurance company to take on a portion of that reimbursement or liability, okay? So income protection, sometimes known as life insurance. See, we have 2 problems in our society. Dying too soon and living too long. What do I mean by that? Well, in the early years, and by the way, this is called the theory of decreasing responsibility. And it says in the early years, you may need a lot of coverage. Why? You've got young kids, which generate higher debt. You have a house mortgage, and a loss of income would be devastating to the family. But also in the early years, you may not have a lot of money to invest. But what does happen, as time goes on, the need for insurance starts to go down. Why? Because as we grow older, our kids are grown. Our debt is lower, mortgage is paid down. Now we need retirement income. So in the later years, we better have money, all right, to replace that need for insurance, because again, we can't go and buy groceries on insurance, all right? So anytime that you die, I believe it's too soon, right? So dying too soon, we want to make sure that our family has money in place and take care of the children, the high debt, the house mortgage, all of that. But living too long is also a very, very serious issue today, all right? You may want to retire 2 or 3 years later. The next thing you know, you've run out of money in a down market like right now and back working at, you know, Walmart, a greeter. So the two problems, dying too soon and living too long, all right? Well, here's how we address that, right? What is life insurance for initially? Well, life insurance is really that foundation of your financial plan. Life insurance is income protection. Your income provides the expenses for your family, okay? Life insurance provides a lump sum to replace the future earnings that someone would have earned, all right? Well, that's why we call it income protection, all right? Next one, okay? Life insurance is the foundation of your financial plan. Life insurance is the income protection, all right? And again, that is that foundation of the flooring. Should you have life insurance outside of your work? Well, employer-sponsored group life insurance generally will provide 1 to 2 years of earnings, and in many cases, only $20,000 as a final expense plan. Group life insurance does not transfer with you if you should change jobs. You know, many people are in that situation right now, and that puts you at risk at being uninsurable based on your health conditions, all right? 50% of families are either without life insurance or underinsured. Level term insurance, which is protection only, provides the most affordable coverage. Now, there are two types of life insurance. There's hundreds of different names, but there's only two types of life insurance. First, term insurance, level premiums up to 35 years, low cost, protection only, no cash buildup. Age 35, $1 million death benefit would be approximately $99 per month, all right? Now we look at the other side, cash value insurance. It's a level premium to age 100, all right? Cash builds up cash value. It's a high cost. At age 35, $1 million death benefit would cost roughly $1,125 per month. Big difference. All right. So let's visually look at term versus cash value. And this example on the left will be three of the top national companies that you would know from TV advertisements. Cash value life insurance is known as whole life, universal life, variable life. The example on the left, the client, 35 years old, he and his spouse, each have a $200,000 cash value policy sold to them many times as an investment. So at age 65, they would have a retirement nest egg of $153,760, which is already predetermined. And that monthly cost would be $450 a month for that, all right? There is some drawbacks to it. If the primary should pass away, the beneficiary gets the insurance. They do not get the cash because it's only the cash value inside the policy. While they're alive, they can exercise a loan that they must pay back at some time. On the right-hand side, we have buy term and invest the difference. Here's an example of a 30-year term. Primary has $800,000 of coverage for 30 years. Spouse has $400,000. For that cost, it's $189 versus the $450 the client on the left was spending. That would free up a roughly $261 a month. If we were to take that and invest that at a 9% rate of return from age 35 to 65, same exact time period as on the left, that client would have saved up roughly $699,841. Which program would you want if it explained to you that way? Okay. Well, the question always comes up, well, how much coverage do I need? Well, it's very easy. If a primary earner is earning $5,000 per month and spouse is earning $3,300 per month, over the next 30 years without any raise at all, that primary would earn $1.8 million and the spouse would earn $1.2 million, roughly $3 million of income. If something were to happen to either one of the earners, how much of the income do you think they would want to leave for their families, right? okay? Well, do you know how much coverage you need for you and your loved ones? Well, the example here, $5,000 per month, coverage need for 30 years would be $686,000. $3,300 a month for the spouse, that coverage need would be $459,000. To cover that need, it's roughly $112 per month. Now, the question, how much does term life insurance protection cost? Well, total premium of $112 per month really represents about 1.3% of someone's total monthly income, but it would insure 100% of that $3 million of future earnings. Doesn't it make sense to set aside 1.3% of your monthly earning income to insure 100% of your lifetime earnings? Absolutely. Some smart tips on buying insurance. Become more self-insured as your assets start to grow, raising your deductibles. You can raise your deductibles on your home, your auto, your health insurance, increase the waiting period for your long-term care and disability income payments. Two, buy term insurance enough to replace the income, and you can drop the term insurance once you reach your FIN. Now, your FIN is your financial independence number. Always have enough personal liability coverage to protect you against potential lawsuits. A personal umbrella policy is a very cheap way to have an insurance company's law firm protect you. So a recap, again, the insurance industry and insurance is really designed to protect your assets and your income paid to you by a premium, all right, until you become self-insured by growing your assets and reducing the need for your coverage, okay? So I want to thank you so much for that. As we introduce our next speaker, a very good friend of mine also in California. He's been in the business many, many years. He has $800,000, $800 million, actually, assets under management, knows exactly how to run a financial service company. Please help me welcome Mike Armendariz.
Hey, Ray, thank you. Great job. Ray just did that recap, but, you know, hitting those things, one, you know, the need for your insurance, knowing your need for your insurance, the insurance amount you need as you're building towards your FIN number is absolutely critical. And knowing the right type, knowing how much exactly you would need, it's a case-by-case basis. And even if you can't get as much as you could, you need exactly, you get something, you know, protect that family. So I get the opportunity and pleasure to talk to you about a nasty four-letter word. It's called debt. You know, if we can get started with that. Kristen's handling the slides over there, I believe. You know, the problem that we have, let me minimize my screen here so I can see that. You know, one, here's the problem. Everything you deal in finance is either a problem and a solution, okay? So here's a major, major problem in America right now. We have consumer debt, and it's robbing America's financial security due to the high interest rates, the revolving in nature. I'm going to talk to you a little bit more about that later. And then the solution, you know, everything that's powerful does not have to be complicated. So the solution is learn how to implement a systematic plan and permanently eliminate that debt and get those dollars that you have on a revolving basis coming back and to use that to help you build towards your FIN number. So let's learn a little bit about that and the effect that compounding has, all right? And then we're going to show you how to fix it. So here's a tidbit. Did you know that if you made a one-time purchase of $3,000 on that card at 18% interest rate, no new purchases, okay, and you made only the minimum payments on that, okay, it would take you at least 10 years to pay that card off, and you'd be end up paying about $2,000 in interest. So that $3,000 cost you about $5,000, okay? So what is bad debt? Bad debt is something you can't afford to make the payment easy, and especially on a credit card, it's something that you can't pay off on a monthly basis. And listen, folks, I'm not pointing a finger at. This is somebody that grew up like that, didn't understand money, ended up in a career in it, and then said, man, we can, this is simple. We can do it. So one, can't afford it easily. And it's tied to things that are depreciable items. Like a car is not an investment. Cars depreciate. So you buy it when you turn that in at the end of paying it off. You know, if all four wheels are still working, you get almost next to nothing. So credit card rule, never finance things that depreciate. All right, Kristen, there we go. So what's a good debt? A debt's obviously the opposite, something you could easily afford. Okay, and you're financing for an appreciating asset, such as a home, a rental property, business, or an asset that will appreciate. Assets put money in your pocket or build your net worth. Bad debts, depreciable items, hurt your net worth. Okay, so let's get started on this. Let's talk about fixing the foundation. And I like this statement here when it says get mad about being, I won't say broke, but get mad about being in debt. Okay. Okay. And on Monday, I said it this way, get mad, stay mad. There's no energy and logic. Have fun with it, but we're going to attack the stack. I'll show you in a minute. So make a decision to fix it. I think you wouldn't be on this webinar learning about fixing your finances if you weren't. Have a working budget. We covered that previously, and get with the individual that you're working with. And learn about setting up a budget. That's the key. That you wouldn't want to find out that your employer is not operating from a budget and their payroll checks were bouncing. So you want to get on a budget, stop spending more than you make, get rid of those credit cards. Okay, the next step, fire all those expenses. Okay, what do we mean by fire them? I mean, cut those cards up. You know, one of the things I get a lot is, pardon me, one of the things I get a lot is, well, what if I have an emergency? Well, folks, if we're honest with ourselves, okay, most of that debt that we have or have accumulated is not from an emergency. So get disciplined, cut them off, all the expenses, and rehire the good ones that are only necessary. Food, clothing, shelter. Don't forget entertainment and charity in there too, but create a plan. That budget will help you do that. Okay, so solution one is implement this debt stack, and I'm going to call it attack the stack, okay, and have fun with it. But the first bullet point here, save $1,000. This will be the building block. We're going to talk a little bit more next week, but on building an emergency fund. So when emergency happens, you have cash set aside for it, not going back into debt like it says in number two by using another existing credit card, and do not establish new credit. We're going to work our way out of that. So how we get started? Okay. I'm going to blow through this because the next slide will show, but make minimum payments on all your debt. Then we're going to focus in on our first target and we're going to attack the stack. Okay. We're going to apply all additional monies to the smallest balance first until it's paid off. A lot of debate. Oh, shouldn't I take the highest interest rate? No. Okay. We want to build some momentum. We want to get you proud of yourself. We're going to go for the smallest first. Going to make the minimum payments on the remaining balances. Okay. Though, you know, those can't worry about tomorrow. Those will handle themselves, but we're going to go after that smallest debt first and just require that discipline. Some of you are really good, but set up an auto pay amount. I'm a big fan of checks. You know why? Because it's going to build discipline, like we referred to in the previous bullet point. Okay, but either way, whatever works for you, but you get it out. You get this plan in action. Once the first bill's paid off, okay, I'm going to show you what we do with that in a minute. Okay, so we got revolving and two types of debt. We got revolving debt and fixed debt. Let me talk about this for a second. Okay, so in both these examples, we have $17,000. Okay, now, if you're my age or some of you a little younger, most of us have purchased and paid off one car or more cars in a lifetime. And that's why I'm going to point that out, because that's an example of a fixed debt. Okay, and the discipline to keep that payment the same and pay it off. But here's the revolving debt. Top, 17 grand. It's $595 a month at 18%. Okay, making those minimum payments, it's going to take you 17 years. Okay, so here's why I think credit cards are evil. It's an invention. So we're going to look at the two. 17 years and 2 months. Where do you want to be in 17 years and 1 month? I'll tell you what, you don't want to be making your last payment. That's for sure. $12,500 in interest. Okay. Now we compare that to a fixed at same interest rate. Okay. 17 grand, 595 fixed versus that revolving. Okay. Like it's more like a revolving door, not a revolving payment. But look at the difference. That would pay that same debt off in 3 years and 2 months. That's a 14-year savings on that. Okay. So we're going to apply that same concept. We're going to do it here. Okay, so here's what we got on the first side. We got retail card number one. Okay, that's 220 for this example. And we're going to, as I said, we're going to attack the stack. So you're going to get all your cards out, get all your credit card statements, line them up smallest to tallest, okay? Then we're going to attack that stack, all right? So then what we do? What do we do after that credit card's paid off, right? Then guess what? We're not doing any additional payments, but we're going to apply a strategy. Sports teams have plans. Families need to have plans, okay, towards hitting their goals, dreams, et cetera. So what do? Paid off the 220. Okay, but if you look at the first stack, what was credit card number two? It's 353. I'm going to go slow here, but then we're just going to speed this up and what we're gonna attack that stack. Okay, so then we add the 220 to the 353, which would now make it to the second card because the first one is gone. All right, now we're gonna pay that 573 and we're gonna repeat the process like those old shampoo bottles. We're just gonna repeat the process, rinse, lather, repeat. So we're going to go one by one, and here's the other concept. We're going down the road until it gets fun. Then we can go after mortgages and stuff like that. So you notice how you see how you do that. That's pretty simple. So as each debt's paying off, one in that orange box, you apply all that the previous debt and payment to the next one. Okay. So the debt stacking. Try and say that three times. Okay, on a timer. Okay, so we're going to attack that stack, category one, without stack in 23 years, okay? And look at the interest you paid, okay? Almost $220,000 with the same monthly payment of $2,720. Now, with the plan, with the strategy, best kept secret in finance, except for the one we're going to teach you next week, paid off 9 years sooner, $130,000 in interest that you avoided. But folks, more importantly, once that stuff's gone, we have $2,700 to get you going towards your FIN number, okay? Now, solution two is like, one, we've established the written budget, but if some of you have a home and equity, and that's why I say sit with somebody that you're working with here, but one, an idea may be going to, especially with interest at mortgages at an all-time low right now, maybe establish a credit line, okay? But you got to be, folks, both of these concepts really require your discipline and dedication and your eye on the prize as you focus for the long term. But I would pay, if you could pay off the credit cards, okay, those high interest rates, plus you can't write them off, okay? See your tax professional that can guide you. But then get an equity line, maybe consider a 15-year. In some cases might make sense, okay? Might even be approximately what you're paying now combined with the credit cards and high interest rate loans and the new mortgage, and then maybe even pay your house off sooner, one. But make a decision to never get back in that situation again, folks. You know, one of the things I share with clients often is, as tough as it is, but that's why I'm a big fan of going for the attack the stack here, because that's the same kind of dedication it takes to get to your FIN number, saving that money on a regular basis, setting that up, getting automated. Folks, you start seeing that debt go down, your savings go up, and you're going to get motivated. I mean, excited. So avoiding some of these common mistakes is one. And these are pretty self-evident, you know, and you don't want to, hey, wherever you are, that's fine. We're not going to leave you there. But one, big mistakes, not valuing your credit, because that usually affects the rates and interest rates that you get when you do need to some good debt, and raising your credit card limits. Folks, if you're raising your credit card limit, you're usually trying to avoid the problem that you need to deal with, which is getting out of it, freeing up that extra monthly money, and that'll usually do it. Not monitoring your credit history, maybe not even debating or challenging any derogatory items on your credit bureau reporting. So two, same thing, not monitoring your credit score. Five, not knowing all your interest rates and fees, okay? So that's a little bit about the debt. But folks, let me hit a couple key points. I'll get to the recap in a minute. So let's do this. But I want to tease next week, folks. But that's why I'd say, look, you're not alone. Get with the person that brought you, okay, that's very skilled in this. And we could sit down with you and show you how to do it, take this concept, and really get a hold and change your life. So next week, it's going to be fun. So this week was a lot about defense, but I also think it's offense. You know, if you attack that stack, you have that money that you're paying to your revolving debt, man, that makes creating the ultimate offense even funner. One, you're going to learn some concepts on how money works, how the banks, credit card industries use the rule of 72 against you, but how you can use it for yourself. And I got a secret for you that they're going to reveal, and I got to tell you what it is, but it is the most powerful force in your financial universe, that's for sure. Learning about the power of time and consistency, learning the power of how waiting 1 to 3 years, especially when you're younger, you think, oh, wow, I'm only in my 20s or 30s or 40s or 50s. Folks, man, getting time and consistency on your time is huge. Becoming an owner, not a loaner, folks, you want to learn about that. How mutual funds work. And if you've heard of the word mutual funds, you're probably familiar with it, but I'll tell you what, if you have a 401k, you might be using them, but not even knowing it. Learning the investment spectrum, right fund for the right goal, investment choices, once again, allocation, setting a target date for that FIN number, understanding company plans, big deal, huge deal, retirement plans, options. I guarantee you have way more options than you think you can. Should I have a Roth? Should I have a traditional? Should I max out my 401k? All those kinds of things. And more importantly, how about the little ones? Learning about college, plan options, what makes sense for you. So a brief recap, folks, as we do this is, and I toss it back to Ray, is folks, this isn't something you can take lightly. For example, we alluded to going over your budget, right? There's a few basic areas in a budget. It's either taxes, it's either savings, insurances, debt, or living expenses, okay? Now, when I sit with people, and just like the person can sit with you whoever invited you to this webinar, but if you could free up 5 to 10% of that budget, not knowing exactly where it goes and where you could free it up, man, that and you apply that to a disciplined saving plan, man, it could be tens of thousands, hundreds, sometimes millions of dollars potentially in your financial plan. So folks, don't stay stuck. Get started. Ask for help. Take action on that. And I'm going to toss it back to Ray. Hopefully you learned something tonight, folks. Maybe can't cover everything right here and now, but folks, hopefully whet your appetite to set that appointment where we can do it one-on-one with you and help you get it started. God bless you. Stay safe in these times and always. Thank you.
Mike, yeah, great job. Yeah. Just great job. Very, very good. Awesome. Awesome. And Mike, before you can still hear me. As you got in the business, did you have any debt?
Oh man, I was so good. That's what made me really good at teaching people how to get out of it. But I didn't know, like a lot of people on this call, right? You know, people, you know, the crazy thing is when you show your slide about, you know, most of us deal with banks, savings and loan credit unions, and most of them don't talk about a FIN number Are we properly protected? Stuff like that. But about batting 100 to include every retail store in America, ask you if you'd like to apply for a credit card, because they know if they get us, you know, bound up in that, and we're just, you know, we're just stuck in that rat trap, that debt trap. And so, yeah, yes, sir, I did have debt.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's very common for the, for our audience out in this nationwide right now, for our audience out there, you know, it's our economy is built, our society is built on debt, you know, establishing credit. But really, what we're really doing is we're establishing debt. And again, as you mentioned with a little teaser, next week we're going to talk about, you know, one of the greatest secrets on earth. And the fact that the financial institutions have a vested interest to make sure that you and I and the consumers out there do not know how compounding interest works. It's just scary, you know?
Yeah. And, you know, is it's hard to win the game, especially the money game, when you don't know the rules, or you think that most people that are trying to help you really are just trying to build a customer. And, you know, one of the things, I know we have a little bit of time before we wrap here, so we can talk a bit, but that's why I say, man, credit cards are an invention. And so much so, and they're so profitable, and most people never get out of it, but that every retail store that we buy stuff at has a credit card and offers us that. You know, it's kind of funny when I'm out shopping sometimes, right? People go, oh, will you be putting that on your so-and-so card? And every time they do that, I always go, my standard response is, oh, well, no, thank you. I'm a financial advisor representative and I get people out of debt for a living. And then they all go, I'm sorry, you know, they make me ask that. And then they almost without fail goes, oh my God, I need to talk to somebody like you. And then, you know, so they're even trained to offer it. Matter of fact, their job's in jeopardy if they don't.
That's right.
Yeah. So us, you know, that's what's so great about getting this information out. And thank you for asking about me being in debt when I was younger, was because when I sit with a client, I say it almost 100% of the time. And the reason why I do is because I don't want them to think that they're bad or they're messing up, they're alone. I go, if you're like me, man, I was strangling by that credit card debt. So, you know, you kind of ease into it and then they open up. So one way, that's why we're doing this kind of stuff, right? You know, across the nation in Canada is because, or not alone, it's not that hard, but it doesn't have to be complicated to be powerful.
And it's not that hard to get out, but it's so easy to get into that, right? They make it so easy. I mean, from the college campuses on, they make it so easy to pass out those credit applications, what have you. And, you know, anytime we get a credit application, what do? Oh, my God, they've just upped my limit. And what do? We use it, right? And on a recap, Mike. I'm sorry?
Well, no, you know, I was going to say that feeling you were saying, it's like, you know, and it's because we weren't trained financially, but guess what we do? Like what you were alluding to earlier. Oh, I want to establish my credit. Next thing I know, married with kids, 2 car payments, all these credit card debt. I was like, okay, my credit's established already. I won out.
Yeah. Right. So I just want to recap real quick, Mike. I think, you know, one of the things that you talked about is, you know, stop spending more money than you make. You know, I mean, we don't really right now, if nothing else, you know, in the environment that we're living in today, it really pointed out to all of, you know, America is stop spending what you don't have. There's no need for it. There's absolutely no need for it. And I think also the budget, putting together a budget. All right. And then when the magic on all this is the debt stacking, where you're snowballing that debt and you're getting out of debt, and you take that difference and you simply invest it and you save it. And oh my goodness, it will make the difference, not just for your life, but the next generation to come. That's what it's all about. you know?
Yeah, and you're going to be proud of yourself. You know, a couple other tips too, Ray, is that I always throw out, and when you said that as one, in the older days, people used a checkbook. And when I sit with clients or families I'm helping, I always say, one, do you want to know how you know when it's time to stop writing checks? And they go, well, when? I go, well, when the balance says zero. You know, so a tip to do, and because, you know, I tell you what, counting out $200 versus putting it on a card, that's a big difference. So you can also, there's a lot of things. You can go to an envelope plan. You can go to carrying cash, which is still taken at retailers. And then so you'll know, you'll look at that money and budget it a little better. So there's a lot of little tricks that the representatives that they're working with can help them if they would just be take that first step of faith, you know?
Yeah.
And start. Yeah. And we're here to help. Great job.
Yeah, I just wanted to thank you also for coming on board and sharing your insight on that, because you're financially independent and you've taught hundreds and hundreds of people in California and throughout the country how to become financially independent. That's just so awesome. And again, if you are interested in anything more, here, we're gonna take a break right now. And if you need any help with anything that we've covered tonight and you have any questions, be sure to reach out to that person who invited you, you know, through the private link, text them or email them, and they'll follow up with you. Take action for you and your family. Okay. And do you have a friend or family member that would benefit from this information? Forward your private link that you will receive and encourage them to register. Okay. And by the way, you know, do you need work from home, plan to earn some extra income? This is brand new, by the way, folks. 54% of adults want to work remotely most of the time because of this pandemic, according to a new study from IBM. Okay, IBM conducted a survey among 25,000 people to gauge how prospective, you know, about work, transportation, and leisure changed since the outbreak of the coronavirus. All right, working from home could make workers happier and save employees and employers money. Of those surveyed, 75% folks said they would like to continue to work from home in at least a partial capacity, while 40% of the respondents said they feel strongly that their employer should give employees the choice to opt in to remote work, okay? So ask the person who invited you to send you a link to our upcoming Join Our Team webinar. All right, which we'll be starting here in 20 minutes. All right. And we want to thank you once again. And we hope that your family's safe and you're safe. And, you know, this year is a very prosperous year for you. So we want to thank you so much for your attendance. And you guys have a great night. Thank you so much, Mike.